So again, my presentation is Host HIV Testing Trial Experiences, Behavioral Practices and Disclosure Patterns Among Black African-American Heterosexual Men Living in Rural Florida. Myself, as well as one of the other presenters, Dr. Madeline Sutton, is also here today. So I'd like to start with some of the disclosures. First, I'd like the findings and conclusions in this presentation are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the views of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And I have no financial, personal financial relationships to disclose. So in the United States, Black African American men, they bear the greatest burden of HIV, of the human immunodeficiency virus, accounting for 42% of new infections in 2012. So in Florida, Black men are disproportionately affected by HIV. In 2013, Black men were approximately 8% of Florida's adult population, yet they accounted for 36% of HIV infections and 44% of AIDS cases. 38% were exposed to HIV through heterosexual activity. And also, for those of you all that don't know, HIV/AIDS disproportionately affects people in rural communities. And for reasons that were already discussed in terms of access are some of the reasons that that we find that disparity. So now, routine HIV testing. This is a critical strategy to facilitate early detection of HIV, subsequent linkage to care and treatment, and then of course to decrease unintentional HIV transmission. When people know their status, they're less likely to engage in behaviors that may put others at risk. Expanded HIV testing efforts have mostly occurred in urban Black communities, and rural communities have been understudied. Now, due to the disproportionate number of Black men who have sex with men diagnosed with HIV, most studies focus on MSM, with very little attention to studies that focus on Black men who self-identify as heterosexual, which you'll notice is Black BHM, Black Heterosexual Men. Now, the main study was HITFARM, and that's an acronym standing for HIV Testing Factors Among Rural Heterosexual Black Men. And what I'm going to be sharing today is part of a larger randomized controlled trial mixed method study where we compare community-based rapid HIV testing with a standard referral to the local health department for HIV testing. And so here's just some important components. As I stated, a randomized control trial, an electronic survey also known as an assisted computer assisted survey instrument, ACASI, and also focus groups. We enrolled a cross-sectional sample of Black heterosexual men residing in one of three rural Florida counties, all with high rates of HIV infection. That's Columbia, Hamilton, and parts of Alachua, the rural parts of Alachua, that is. Now, the purpose of the study that I'm sharing today was to describe the post-HIV testing trial experiences among Black heterosexual men in high HIV prevalence counties in rural Florida that were enrolled in the HIV testing randomized control. This particular subset of sub-analysis reports the focus group phase of the study. Now, eligibility, they self-identified as Black men, ages 18 to 64, self-identified as heterosexual, resided in rural area or small city, were HIV negative based on prior testing or had unknown HIV status, and were able to speak and read and understand English. So the focus groups explored attitudes and perspectives about participating in HIV testing randomized control trial and possible disclosure of HIV test results if tested. Now, within 3 months of completing the randomized control trial, we conducted 12 focus groups with a subset of participants recruited from the larger mixed method study. And the group sizes ranged from 4 to 7 participants. Now, let me also note that we had in the main study, There was approximately 600 men that was a part of that study. And this particular sample you'll see is approximately 10% of those who participated in the focus groups. And the focus groups were stratified by county, four groups in each county. The focus group questions for the sub-analysis, if tested, once you got your HIV test result, how did that change your behavior with sex partners? And has your behavior changed compared to before you participated in the study? And last, after you've had your HIV, your previous HIV test, did you go and talk to your partners? Now, something that's important, that this the analysis was informed by the strengths perspective. My background is in social work, and so social work, we often are focused on looking at strengths. And so with the strengths perspective, strengths perspective places an emphasis on assets and abilities of people to reach a given goal. So we took a departure from the norm of identifying risk behaviors, also known in the literature as a pathological viewpoint. Instead, we sought to find the positives. And so we identified the strategies utilized by Black heterosexual men to reduce their risk of HIV acquisition and to disclose their HIV status. Data analyses, so focus group interviews were professionally transcribed. The transcripts were uploaded, read, and coded in InVivo 8 by three trained qualitative analysis in two phases. The first phase was a broader analysis of all the questions. And again, as I stated, this is a sub-analysis. So the focus group covered their questions that ranged from their experience in all phases of the study. So including the taking the ACASI, asking about their experiences with testing, their previous, so it covered a range of topics. This particular sub-analysis focused only on the questions that I've identified around the behaviors. So phase one looked at the entire focus group, and phase two, detailed analysis of risk reduction behaviors and disclosure patterns using an inductive thematic approach. The focus groups are the unit of analyses, and demographic data were analyzed using SPSS 21. So now let's get into some of the results. The characteristics of the sample. So I'll just highlight a few. I know that it's a little small, but 67 men participated in the focus groups, and the mean age was 41 and a half years. 39 or 58% earned a monthly income of less than $500. 38 or 57% attained an education through high school or higher. 37 or 55% were unmarried, and 60% reported practicing monogamy. Our groups, we had three groups. The three groups, 35 in the rapid HIV testing arm, 15 men participated in the health department arm, and 17 were assigned to the health department arm yet not tested. So those make up our groups. HIV testing history. 54 men previously tested for HIV, 50 tested during the trial, 13, which is great, was approximately 22% were first-time testers, and all who tested for HIV tested negative. So we have three main themes: risk reduction approaches, sexual health communication with sex partners, and health communications with peers and family. So now with risk reduction, as I stated, this is the main theme, but there were three sub-themes. And the first one is behavior adoption. 10 groups of included discussions about behaviors that they adopted after learning their HIV serostatus or participating in the random control trial. And these behaviors that they adopted included condom use, monogamy, abstinence, and masturbation. One quote states, "After I first found out, I didn't like condoms first, but when I first did test, I started loving them." Behavior modification. We had seven groups that described ways in which they modify their behavior. And in this case, modification refers to discontinued or decreased their certain behaviors. When my results came back in a good fashion, I changed that flashing. I slowed down a lot. I don't drink anymore. I don't run the streets anymore. And then behavior maintenance. Men in half of the groups discussed risk reduction strategies that they maintained prior or after participating in the trial, and those most of which were monogamy or condom use. And here we have a gentleman who was married, kept the same one for 25 years straight. Now next, the next main theme was sexual health communications with sex partners. And this one also had three sub-themes. The first was disclosing to sex partners. 11 groups, and as I mentioned, 11 out of the 12 groups gave examples of how they disclosed their status to their sex partner. Here this one said, oh, I showed her. Yeah, I showed her everything. I took my shirt off and it was taped on. The next one is negotiating HIV testing. Half of the groups discussed how they negotiated HIV testing with their partner or encouraging their partner to test. I tested so I can encourage her, my wife, to go get tested then too, you know. And then the last one is starting conversation. This was a very few, not many groups stated this, but it was important to note that a few men, they really spoke more about how they felt more comfortable about having conversations with their sex partner. Try to get to know your sex partner a bit, you know, try to spend some time. So they realized that was something that was important. And the third, our last main theme was healthy communication with peers. And this one had two sub-themes. The first of which was disclosing results to family and friends. 7 groups spoke about the importance of them sharing their results with family and friends, just because it felt good to know that you're negative. And so they felt that knowing that they were negative was something good, and they wanted to be able to share that. And the last one was educating and encouraging peers. Men in half of the groups described how their testing experiences compelled them to encourage others. I was encouraging other friends to go and take the test because I was proud that I didn't have it. So them learning that they were negative encouraged them to go and share with others, like, hey, you know, they're testing. Again, this was, the sample was, so they were able to use kind of a snowball approach in terms of being able to even recruit others in the main study. And so this was something that they shared, that they were proud to be able to share with others about their negative status and to encourage others to test. Now, some of the limitations, as with most qualitative research, is that the findings are not generalizable to non-rural groups of Black heterosexual men. And also, these findings are based on self-reported data. Also, there was no biological outcome measure to verify their self-reported decreased risk. So these are things that would be important in future studies. Now, in conclusion, this study fills an important gap in the literature regarding Black heterosexual men living in rural communities and potential decreased risk behaviors after participation in an HIV testing trial. Among Black heterosexual men, being in this HIV testing study facilitated increased protective behaviors and communications for HIV prevention. Also, as we think about health and our policies, interventions for Black heterosexual men in rural areas warrant incorporating these strategies, seeking to find out what motivates men to actually engage in healthier behaviors or taking sexual health precautions, and incorporating these strategies to encourage routine HIV testing. As we know, just hearing the gentleman before, that we need to find ways that when we do, we already know that testing is very, it's difficult sometimes to get men into testing. And so it's important that we find ways to identify, to get them in, and when we do, to get them tested. And finding out what motivates them to do so is an important way. Finding out their strengths and their assets is an important way to do so. So at this time, I'd like to acknowledge and give special thanks to Dr. Emma Brown, who was the PI on this study, and all the men who participated in the Hit Farm study and shared their experiences throughout the focus group. These are the references. I thank you for your time.